Well, good morning again. I want to ask that you pray for me this morning. And I also want you to think about some of the lyrics that we just sang. None of us know about tomorrow. None of us are promised to have tomorrow. But we have today. And this is a day that we set aside for worship. So it is good to be in the house of the Lord. The last two Sundays that we have shared together in our worship, I've spoken some about looking back at 2025 and counting our blessings and looking forward to what blessings may be there in 2026. Nobody knows what wonderful things the Lord may have in store for each of us. But because we don't know about tomorrow, for us to live from day to day, as this song we just sang is describing, we have to have trust in God, don't we? We have to look to somebody besides ourselves to find that motivation to go forward from day to day, to find the courage when times are dark and uncertain. And I hope in our message this morning that I can steer your minds to God's Word, and that in His Word that you will find courage from the promises as we go over and read them this morning that we find contained in the Bible, and also for directions for your life. Because I want to start out with a scripture that I shared last Sunday, and I believe it's an action plan for everybody. Whether you're a believer or not, there is nothing I don't think that you could find to tear down this passage that we find in the Bible. It's a prescription for us to live our lives by. We don't always do it, but the prophet Micah shared this with us. He said that, and this is what the Lord brought to Micah. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What a beautiful description of how we are to live our life daily. Now, whether we choose to do so or not is dependent upon you. And sometimes, because we don't know about tomorrow, we let uncertainties and anxieties and obstacles get in our way of living just as what we were told to do. To love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly before our God. That should be our action plan. But putting it into practice requires courage. In 2026, somewhere along the way, you will encounter obstacles, and it may make it difficult to do these things. But if you stay committed, I believe that we can find courage in God's Word. In Joshua, when he was facing an almost insurmountable task that the Lord had given him to lead the Israelites over the Jordan River when it was at flood stage, and there were over a million people that were in that camp. He was struggling, but the Lord told him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage, and do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That applies to us today. We cannot go anywhere where the Lord is not aware. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God as His people. So folks, with each day that we're given, we need to have the trust in the Lord to know that He is with us. And that should give us courage to move forward. And you know, there are times when we don't understand. We just plain don't understand why some things we have to face, or why we might be a fortunate person and another person is having to suffer, and our heart goes out to them when we think, you know, that could have been me or should have been me. We don't always know. But one of the most quoted proverbs of all proverbs in the Bible is Proverbs number 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And when it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, it's telling us to go before the Lord in prayer and acknowledge that He is our God. You see, the thing about walking humbly before your God is that you are acknowledging that, yes, there is a God, number one. And number two, that He is aware of you because He is your God. and that He's higher than us. And to walk humbly before Him requires obedience. You see, there's a little bit more in that passage that we first read. How beautiful it is. But do we always walk obediently? I'm going to tell you that if, number one, if we trust God, when we don't understand, we can't do justly in this world because He's put it in our hearts to live by His Word. And when we live by His Word, we're going to want to keep His commandments. We're going to want to do justly. And we can love mercy and be merciful to others because, you know, the thing about being humble, it comes with a recognition of realizing how much God has done for us. And that should humble us. And when we're humble, we're a little more merciful to other people. So when we encounter the obstacles in our lives, and we all have them, folks, again, I said we don't know what 2026 may hold for us. We don't know about tomorrow. I believe there will be many blessings because each day the Lord gives us is a blessing. But we may have trials and difficulties too. But when we encounter the obstacles, and we're looking up to God, and we are in communion with God, that was what Proverbs means, in all your ways acknowledge Him. When we are praying to the Lord, He will guide and direct our paths. So if He's guiding and direct our paths, His eye is upon us. Just like the Word tells us, His eye is upon the sparrow. You see, we can't separate ourselves from God. He loves us. So when we trust, completely trust, we can look to God and follow what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 tells us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, it takes trust to do that, doesn't it? It takes trust. When I don't understand and I'm hurting, it takes trust to look to God. But when we look to God, our anxieties will go down just a little bit. Because, you know, we're not always in control, but God is. And so we need, through prayer, supplication, we know that the Lord's will be done. Sometimes it's not our will, but we need to be praying, Thy will be done. And when we are submissive to God in that way, there's a peace that will wash over us. It doesn't always remove every difficult circumstance, but it gives us guidance and trust to move forward in those difficult circumstances. Our anxieties are minimized and replaced with peace. We all want peace in our heart, folks. Ultimately, I want to ask you all a question now, and for those of you who aren't here as often as we'd like you to be, I seem to phrase things in a lot of questions. So my question to each and everyone that's here today, who is it and what is it ultimately that we trust in? You know, that's a personal question. It's a little bit different for each and every person, but there's a common denominator, I think, too. Who is it that we trust in and what do we trust in? It goes back to what I said a moment ago. Walk humbly before your God. You see, there is a God. And He's higher than me and you. And we trust in that one that is higher than us, not ourselves. And as Primitive Baptists, there are two scriptures that I want to point to that we kind of hang our hat on. Because it points us to that one that's higher than us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The gift of faith. And I want you to think about it for just a moment. We're all here. We are all believers. How are you a believer? It's because God gave you the ability to believe. He touched your heart. He opened your heart. He gave you the gift of faith. You see, it's about what God has done. It's not about what we have done. It's by God's grace, His mercy. It goes back to being merciful. By His mercy, He has given us grace, and in that grace is a gift of faith to believe. It's not of works. What does the verse say specifically? It is a gift of God. But see, with that, and I didn't include the rest of the verse, but it goes on to tell us that we were created to do good works, which God preordained beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, He gave us faith for a purpose. And one of those purposes, and this is the second passage that we can hang our hat on, and it should give you comfort. I hope that we will go away this day with some comfort in our hearts because of these promises. And what is that comfort? It's found in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. And this, there is no qualifier. It is to everyone. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So folks, we have two promises here that should give you comfort and lift you a little bit higher and give you the confidence, because it's what God did for us in giving us that gift of faith. But our response is to confess Him before other people. You see, why do we have our faith? It's to believe in God and to share our faith with other people. But these two passages should help us to know when we're doubting, when those obstacles pull us down and hardships of life make us wonder. You see, it's not up to what you feel. It's not up to what you've done. It's up to the grace of God. And the fact that you can say these words, publicly confess that you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and He died for your sins. You have the gift of faith within you. And it is what God did. He gave you that gift of faith. So this should give us comfort and confidence. And folks, I'll tell you in this way. If we believe our salvation is secure, we need to focus on our salvation in life. We don't know about tomorrow. But we know about our salvation because it's in God's hands. It's not in our hands. See, again, we're looking up to God who's higher than us. And we should be walking humbly underneath Him, believing and trusting that He has us. See, we can go through life doing justly, which is keeping His commandments and living by His Word. That part should not be that hard to understand. It may be a little harder to do. But we should understand it. We can go through life and we can love mercy because when we realize our salvation is secure, we recognize how merciful God has been to us, and in turn we should be merciful to each other. Because folks, you didn't earn your salvation. I didn't earn my salvation. Nobody earns our salvation. It is through God's grace and His mercy. And if He's been merciful to us, we should be merciful to others in turn. And we can walk humbly because we know that we owe it all to Him. That's how we can fulfill this passage. How we can put this action plan into action in our lives. Now, will we do it? If we know these things, I'm going to ask. Will you let obstacles interfere with this in your life? Will you let obstacles and uncertainties and hardships overpower your trust in God? And will it interfere with your witness? You see, I told you there'd be a lot of questions. They just need to be answered, and they have to be answered within your heart. Will you let these things interfere with your witness? Will we overcome it? I hope so. You see, we don't know about tomorrow, but I believe in the promises of God. So I have hope for tomorrow because it's in God's hands. I don't want to know about tomorrow because I'm thankful for the grace that God gives us just to live out this day. I'm happy with what we have here today. I am delighted to see all these beautiful people here today that have come to worship God. You're uplifting to me. If we look around and begin to count our blessings, folks, there's so much to be happy for. There's so much to be confident in. And there's so much that when we share our hope and our faith flowers. There's so many ways that we can inspire other people. And there's so many ways that we can find comfort in God's Word. And folks, one of the good works that you were created to do was to comfort each other. Comfort each other. Have you ever thought of that? I'm going to turn our focus a little bit more now through the rest of our message in comforting one another. And there's a reason for that. As we turn now, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the what would be the rest of our main passage this morning, it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Of course, it is on our PowerPoint as well, but if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For all the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, there's a lot in this passage. And I probably haven't left enough time to truly go over it in depth in the way that it could be done. I do want to go back and look at it just a little bit and how it applies to our lives, how it applies to each day the Lord will give you in 2026, and how we should be confident and find courage and also comfort in what this word tells us. Let's look again, and I want you to think about what we just read, and we're going to go over, but we know that if we have all of 2026, there'll be some days that are not the way we would have chosen them to be. There's going to be some hardships in those days, and we know that in our life we will have suffering. So will everybody else. You're not alone. We all have hardships and sufferings in our life. But faith should strengthen us to face our hardships and our burdens. And for those of you who are not here like we would like you to be again, I want to invite you back each and every Sunday. I want to share a statement with you that I've shared maybe more than I realize, and so it's very familiar to our congregation. Other people notice the way you walk. Other people notice your faith. There's not a day that goes by when you are not either a negative or a positive influence on other people. The way we choose to embrace the day that the Lord gives us has a profound effect on other people. I pray that your faith is strong enough to help you overcome those days that are a little bit hard to endure. Because other people are always watching. Matter of fact, the world watches Christians more than any other group, to see how we will respond. Just jumping at the chance to say, oh, well, that person lived their life the way they're supposed to be living. Well, that's not the important thing. You see, none of us are perfect. We all will have hardships. What's the important thing? Is even when we don't understand it, like it says in Proverbs, that we trust in God. And then we turn to God. And we realize it's not just about me. It's about other people, too. You see, we were created to do good works. We have an effect on other people. And one of the greatest effects we can have on other people is trying to comfort them when they need comforting. Let's look over our text again. In verse 16 specifically, therefore do not... Well, let me just read it again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but are at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, folks, I was kind of getting ahead in my mind, and I almost skipped over this passage. But as you think about what we just read, and now we're going to re-examine them a little bit more, I want you to recognize that even though we're all different, we all have one common burden to bear. And I hope I can bring that out in just a moment. Let's look at verse 16 specifically. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, a common denominator to all people is that we all get older. Each day that we're given, we're getting older. We all have injuries in our lives. We all have health issues in our lives. We all have some type of a physical problem throughout our life at some point we're going to have to deal with. You know, the Word tells us that the wages of sin is death. So each day we are slowly passing away. Our bodies are degrading. The outward man is perishing. That's a fact of life for all of us. We can't escape it. But the passage tells us something wonderful here. Yes, the outward man is perishing, but it also says that the inward man, even though outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. You see, he has appointed something to us that only God can do. He strengthens us internally. He strengthens our faith. And folks, those, you know, it's just like exercise. You have to put forth the effort. You have to work out hard to improve. Well, we have afflictions in our life, and our faith should help us get us stronger. But I'm going to tell you that sometimes the greatest growth, the greatest results come from those afflictions that God puts in our lives on us. He gives them to us individually. Mine may be different than yours. But sometimes those afflictions come because He appoints them to us. Verse 16 tells us, we do not lose heart even though the outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Or as the inner man is renewed day by day, our strength should be growing. It should be getting stronger through the trials. And when it does, if we gain strength through the trials, hey, been through something in your life you didn't know how you were going to get through, but you did. And you finally look back and you realize God was with you there the whole time. He is, folks. It strengthens us. You know, sometimes they're bitter experiences. You can go through any type of, I suppose, example that you want to find, but one that comes to mind this morning to me are POWs. The horrible things that POWs go through. But once they have gone through it, and they're back home, and they share their experiences, they're inspiring and they're uplifting, and they give courage and hope to other people that have shared the same thing. You see, sometimes we don't know why we go through these difficult times. But when we do, and we trust in God, and we come out on the other side, and we're a little stronger than we were beforehand, we can do what Galatians 6:2 tells us, because it enables us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's a big statement. I want to focus a little bit more on that, bearing one another's burdens. It takes a lot of love to bear somebody else's burdens, doesn't it? Sometimes the requirements can seem to be overwhelming. But this is where the love of God's people sometimes shines through. When we start trying to bear one another's burdens, you see, the time that is required, the patience that is required, the perseverance that's needed, sometimes the physical cost. Sometimes it takes a lot to bear one another's burdens. But folks, I want to tell you something very starkly. And you think about your own life, and this is very true. It's true for everybody sitting here today. It was done for us when we were children. And most of us will return it to our loved ones when they are old. When they need help. When they're not themselves anymore, even when they don't recognize us. You see, we're going to have to turn that back. It was done for you when you were a child. Somebody did it. And you know, as great as it is to have children, and I could go on and on and on about what a privilege it is to be a parent and what a blessing they are in our life. It's indescribable. But there are taxing days and there are hard days. And you have to provide for everything for that child. You see, sometimes there are burdens there. And the same is true when our loved ones get older. We have to share with those burdens. And that comes from love in the heart. That's where that comes from. But what I wanted to say in a very stark manner, yes, somebody else did it for you, but just as much as you can grab hold of that and understand it, there's something more important. That's what Christ did for you. And I want you to understand that completely. That's what Jesus Christ did for you. Romans chapter 5 tells us, but God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus Christ loved us and died us. Even when that point in our life, we didn't recognize Him. He died for us when we were sinners. He loved us and He saved us. See, it goes back to what Jesus did, not to what we did. That's why we cling so strongly to the doctrines of grace. It's what God does for us. It's what He has done. He loved us while we were sinners. He saved us while we were sinners because He loved us. And folks, He has given you the gift of faith in your heart. We talked about just a moment about giving testimony. He's given you the faith in your heart so you can know that He died for you. And He loves us. And our expression of faith should not be, this is important, our expression of faith that we share with other people should not be contingent upon your circumstances. The circumstances you are in right now in no way reflect how much God loves you. They are totally separate. Yes, God blesses our life, and God sometimes allows us to go through hardships, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God is aware of each and every day He gives us. And when we look to Him and His Word, we can find strength to do the following. And when you've had some hard times, this is not the most easy passage to be obedient to. But still, because we look to God and we put our faith and trust in Him, we need to. In 1 Thessalonians, we are said and told to give thanks in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not just when things are going your way, but in everything. Give thanks. Give thanks for the day. Give thanks that you might be with somebody that needs your help to shoulder the burden they're carrying because you are strong enough to do it. Because you have the faith to do it. Because you have the love in your heart to do it. In everything, give thanks. Our expression of faith is important because, well, one, because other people see it. But number two, because the Bible tells us to. God's Word tells us to express publicly our gratitude. Psalm 100, and this makes me think of Sister Laddie. Psalm 100. And Sister Dale shared this with me because she said that it reminded her of Sister Laddie. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That was true when David wrote it. It is true as we stand here in January 2026. His truth endures to all generations. And we need to praise Him for all of the good things that He has done for us. Sister Laddie, she loved to be in His gates. She loved to come to church. I remember Brother Jim and Sister Lucille would oftentimes give her a ride. Even when she was older and she couldn't see that good anymore, and she sometimes had days when she didn't feel that good, but she loved to be here. She loved to be in the house of the Lord. She entered this gates and she uplifted everybody else. Because in spite of those hardships and inconveniences, she didn't complain when her toe ached. No, she came to church. And she was an inspiration. And when she got here, she loved to sing. What a beautiful voice Sister Laddie had. She made a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, Sister Laddie, like so many others of the saints that aren't with us anymore, but we were privileged to have members of this church. They graced this church. They lived by faith and not by sight. And this brings us back to our passage in Corinthians. Verse 18. What are you going to focus on, folks, as you think about tomorrow? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And as a Christian, I want to tell you, that's where our focus needs to be. Because we don't know about what's happening here tomorrow in this earth, but we know about eternity, and it's in God's hands. And we know that our salvation is secure because He has given us faith. You know, as we begin to close here, no matter how chaotic life may get, and sometimes it gets very chaotic and we lose our focus, we should never lose the fact and the focus and the understanding that we are in God's hands and our salvation is secure. We need to also remember that not only do we trust God in everything, but God created you for a purpose. You have a purpose in this life. And God knows that purpose. And He has equipped us to fulfill the purposes that He created us for. Philippians 1:6 tells us, "Be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ." You see, He started a good work in you. That day that He gave you, opened your heart and your minds, you knew that He was His child. You have faith to remember that. It gives you something to grab hold of. So when those dark days come and those hard days come, we shouldn't lose our hope because we are in the hands of the Lord. We need to be confident in this Word, in His promises, because they never fail. You know, at the moment, I don't know. We all have different experiences in our life. As Brother Terry prayed, we don't know what somebody else, what burden they're carrying. You see, our life, somebody sitting here, your life may be very chaotic. I don't know. It might be perfect. You know, sometimes it may seem like your life is like the back of a tapestry. There's lines and knots and all types of these ugly things on the back of it. And it just doesn't make sense. And it's hard. But I want you to think of something else. When it doesn't make sense, we need to follow what Proverbs tells us, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guide and direct our paths. Because even when you don't seem to understand, God is using you for a purpose. He's working with us. He's making us stronger to fulfill His perfect will. And your life is just like that tapestry. When you view it from the other side, it's beautiful. It's perfect. You see the intention. You see the design. You see the image. And that should be an image of Christ being reflected from you. You see, we don't understand, but God understands. And He sees the other side. And what He looks at His children, He sees us through the lens of Jesus Christ. And we are beautiful. All those sins and ugly things on the backside of our life won't come into focus anymore because the Lord God looks at us through the perfect love of Jesus Christ. And that should give us hope and courage to face whatever day that we have, whatever it may bring. And we should share that encouragement and faith with others. Folks, I want to tell you that you will live a much more peaceful life when you cling to God's promises. In closing, remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from God. He is with us each and every day, in this life and in the next. The Lord holds our hands. And He promised us in Romans chapter 8, which we've already read, but God demonstrated His love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it's all about what the Lord has done for me and for you. And when we recognize what He's done, I pray it gives you the strength to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer for each and every one of you this day. I pray that these passages that we shared and will give you comfort for the days to come.